is a powerful tool that serves you and your family every day. But how do you juggle all of life's demands, raise a family, and keep your house under control? That's what this show is all about. Welcome to the Stress Less Podcast. I'm Megan Smith, Midwest mama who is obsessed with getting rid of crap and passionate about realistic problem solving. And I'm here to help you transform your unique spaces by giving you permission to make intentional decisions that empower you to confidently stress less and live more. Hello again, and welcome to another episode of the Stress Less Podcast. On today's episode, I am sharing all the things from my perspective of managing money while having ADHD. Quick disclaimer before we get started. I am not a financial advisor, accountant, or someone with any kind of official certification that involves crunching numbers. I'm just a mom with ADHD sharing my messy, real-life experiences with managing money. And spoiler alert, it hasn't always been pretty. So if you're looking for professional financial advice, please seek out a licensed expert who knows what they're talking about. As for me, I'm here to share what's worked, what hasn't, and hopefully give you a few laughs along the way. Let's get into it. So we're going to go all the way back to Megan circa 2013. And I honestly have no idea why this memory has honestly stuck out to me like a core memory, but I specifically remember being on the phone with my sister, and my sisters are 10 and 13 years older than me. So she is honestly probably at a time in her life when we were having this conversation where I am right now with raising young kids. And she was telling me about this budgeting tool that she started using. I specifically remember saying, but doesn't a budget make you feel trapped? And her response to me was so good. She said, no, I actually feel like I have more freedom. So it's safe to say that is the beginning of my financial journey and managing personal finances. I mean, just be clear, that was back in 2013. And I was just out of college then, kind of going through that transition of being a college student and then working in my first like real teaching position and with having my first salary and figuring all that out as a young adult. Obviously, at that time, I did not know that I had ADHD. And obviously, hindsight is 20/20. And now I'm able to see all the challenges that brought on. So let's talk about that. How does ADHD impact financial management? Why is it harder for people with ADHD to manage their money? I won't go too deep into the list, but impulsivity is a big one. Making impulsive choices, buying things on a whim. Also, it's difficult for people with ADHD to make decisions around long-term planning. A lot of times it can be difficult to think beyond immediate needs. So what you're dealing with right now in the present, it's harder to think 6 months out, a year out, 3 to 5, 10 years out. And of course, there's always the task paralysis. Creating a budget, managing a budget, paying bills, that's a lot of tasks. And a lot of times people with ADHD have a hard time starting a big task when it has several subtasks under it. And that can just stop you in your tracks right there. As I was doing some quick research for this episode, I came across a phrase that I had heard before, but I had actually forgotten about it. And it's called the ADHD tax. And if you look up the ADHD tax, it basically talks about how having ADHD does come with a cost. And it's not just like the diagnosis and the meds. It's forgetting to pay bills, paying late fees, paying for subscriptions that you forget about. And not only people with ADHD are guilty of that. Like everybody, I feel like, is guilty of that at some point. Part of that ADHD tax is things that they just happen or they're more common with people who are neurodivergent. So you know, if you've been a listener of the Stress Less Podcast, that this podcast is for moms who are overwhelmed or feel like they're drowning or feel like they just can't keep up. And we're all here to talk about like how we can make it manageable and stress less so that we can enjoy the important things more. Let's just even just think about all the responsibilities that moms have that are not related to finances. Like it's a lot keeping up with the house and meal planning and however things are divided between responsibilities between you and your spouse, or if your kids are old enough to delegate tasks. Like, there's just so much. Like, we all know about the mental load that mothers experience. And then if you are also the person in your household who manages the finances, it is truly like an entire full-time position, it can seem, especially at certain times of the month or certain times of the year. It can just be a lot. And just to share a little bit of a personal perspective, and I am the person in our household who manages the finances, and our household finances also involve a farm. So I'm managing our household finances, the farm finances, and then as of the last 2 years, my own Stress Less Organizing business finances. And then as of this past November, my husband and I opened up an Airbnb at a lakeside cabin that's just 12 miles from our house. And so that is another business where I'm managing finances. So you can imagine right now, especially with the turn of the year and getting ready for tax season, like, I feel right now that I am like really in the thick of it with making sure our money is doing what it needs to do and that our budget is holding true and that we're not overspending, but also making sure that we're able to hold that balance for ourselves, like me and my husband and our family, and that we're still able to enjoy things along the way. Money isn't just a math problem. The emotional side of money is just as important to talk about as the numbers. And emotional regulation is already hard for anyone with ADHD. But when it comes to money, you might also experience things like guilt around overspending, a fear or underlying constant stress of forgetting bills, and even shame when your finances feel out of control. And even for that matter, like, I remember there was a very specific time in my life where I was making purchases that I literally was calling them trauma purchases. It was truly like an emotionally fueled purchase, just because everything else in my life was so far out of control, or at least felt that way, that making a purchase was at least something in my control. But before we spiral too far here, even with all of these challenges, there are steps we can take to simplify and reduce the mental load that comes with managing your household finances. So I think a really good place to start that honestly might take you some time, and it might not be the easiest thing for you to be honest with yourself about, but you do need to start with recognizing things that trigger you to spend money in a way that might be making it hard for you to stop yourself from spending money. So if there are any emotional or environmental triggers that lead to impulsive spending, you might want to put some guardrails up for yourself to avoid that. So this might be like, are you going shopping when you're feeling bored? Do you go shopping when you're stressed? What about when you're overstimulated? What is happening before you purchase something? You might find yourself experiencing a reward-seeking behavior, like using spending to feel good. I mean, ADHD is always looking for that hit of dopamine, spending money, getting something new, bright and shiny objects. It always feels so good to our brains. I am so, so, so guilty of it. Are your social media ads getting in your way? Or maybe they're the exact opposite, and instead of getting in your way of saving money, maybe they're like creating a direct path for you to spend your money in a way that maybe you don't want to. You might be making purchases that are coming from a place of mom guilt. There's some common spending traps like buying things to feel more organized, like bins and planners. I've already mentioned subscriptions that go unused. Overbuying groceries due to lack of planning. or paying for eating out more than you need to. These are just all things to pay attention to. None of these are good or bad. It's just a yes or a no. Am I doing this or am I not? And it's just really about getting curious about what's happening. Once you recognize your triggers, you can start taking steps to work with your ADHD brain instead of against it. I think the number one thing that I've done and that I do, like at every chance I get, is I automate our finances as much as possible. Bill payments, savings, recurring expenses, anything that happens over and over every month, there is no way that I am going to waste my brain power trying to remember it. I'm sure there's some deep psychological reason for me of like why I stress about this, but I hate owing people money. And it doesn't matter if it's a person or if it's like being late on a bill or anything like that, like stuff like that really stresses me out. So I do absolutely anything I can to not let that happen. And I'm going to get into this, into more of this later, a little bit later in the episode too, about what I'm doing and what I'm trying right now with automating. But if you have bills, if you can set up auto pay, anything like that, do that. Don't let it live rent-free in your brain all month long just because you're afraid that you're going to forget to do it. Using visual aids is a really great thing to try too. I'm in the messy middle part of this because I really want to make my phone have the budgeting app that I use. I really want that widget to be on my home screen. That's a visual reminder for me every time I see my phone. But also, I love that it would be updated and that it would help me see like where I'm at immediately. Like it would just be so great for me to have that right there. Another thing that you can do is set short-term goals. And I honestly, like I have never felt more seen than it had to have been sometime in December. I was listening to The Debt-Free Mom. Her name is Carly and she has a podcast and she also has an Instagram. And on her podcast, she said, sticking to a budget for 30 days is hard. And in my mind, I was like, yeah, it is. It's hard. And I swear, like the school district I work for is one of the last in the state that still pays by the month. I could be wrong about that, but I'm pretty sure like most schools are getting paid twice a month, which is, it's fine. I understand. But it just, Carly saying that, like I said, it made me feel so seen because especially when you're somebody who has a brain that operates in an ADHD way, like 30 days is a long time. It is hard to think of a plan and make decisions and stick to it for 30 days. Like the decision I made 30 days ago might not be the same that I want to make right now. Maybe I didn't see something coming. And then especially when we're dealing with perfectionism and wanting to be right and doing it the right way, then you turn around and if you have to make adjustments, you might be feeling like a failure. It's just so unnecessary and we can really end up spinning our wheels. So quite a while ago, I found this app that's called Today's Budget. And this is not like the one that I use for my main budgeting tool. I can talk about that one more later. But this Today's Budget app might be a good place to start if you don't have a big, robust budgeting system set up for yourself already. And this app, you type in like into the app when you get an income and you can set the date for the next time that you would get another paycheck. And so then what it does is it takes your allotted amount and it divides it out over the number of days that you would have until you get paid again. And so then it gives you like today's budget. And then every time you spend money, it re-averages out the money up in for the number of days up until the time you get paid again. So then it might say you have $200, you can spend $200 every day until you get paid again. But then if you spend $100, obviously it's going to take out $100 and then it would re-average it. Or if you spend $300 in one day, be less. And it was just when I first started using it several years ago, it was just a really nice way to make decisions. Like if I could buy a new clothing item or if I could let myself get coffee in the morning before I got to work. Just things like that, or you can see how much is there. And if you know that it's like, well, I have plenty left to get groceries for the rest of the week. It's just, it was such a nice way to break it down. Now, I did just recently re-download that app and I'm going to try it again. We'll see. I might be playing with that concept a little bit, but I just want to share it with you in case it was something you wanted to explore. Okay, so this part of my budgeting experience that I'm going to be sharing with you right now is actually a little bit more like real time of what I'm trying to do. And actually, this was something that I took from the Debt-Free Mom. She had somebody on her podcast. I'll have to link the episode or go back and try to remember who shared this. But somebody was talking about how just opening another bank account can help you manage your finances. It was like at the end of the podcast when they said that would be their one piece of advice. And then something just kind of clicked with me. And they were talking about separating out like your automatic bills or your reoccurring bills, the things that you know you are going to pay every single month, from your more like discretionary spending. And so over Christmas break, that is one thing that I did. I did go and open up another checking account at a separate bank. And there's another reason tied into this as well that I went to this other bank. But so I am leaving all of my recurring bills in one account, and those are all automated in this. I spent a lot of time over break adding up all of our expenses and going through everything from, honestly, I went through everything in 2024 from all of our transactions to make sure I didn't miss anything. And I listed out what our monthly expenses were. And then those are all coming from one account. And it just happens to work out that my paycheck that is already automatically deposited into that account can cover all of our expenses for the month. And so then that allowed me, I was like, well, this is kind of nice. I thought I was going to have to mess with it every month. But now my husband is a farmer and he works for his dad. And so we get a check from them every month that we just deposit. Well, that check, His check is just going to go into this other banking account or this other checking account that I opened. And that is going to be our day-to-day spending, like things that are not, they probably have an average of every month, but it's not the same every month. So Walmart runs, going out to eat, like our fun money, but also obviously gas and groceries are a need. And so anything that, like I said, is not recurring or automated is going to come out of that account. I just felt like I was lucky that it separated out and everything was enough between our two paychecks to just split them rather than me having to move money back and forth each month, which would have been fine. But ask me in July how that's going. I honestly have tried that before, but at the time I had not worked through all of my impulse spending tendencies. I had not recognized them. I had not set up guardrails for myself, and the accounts were actually at the same bank. So I was just moving money back and forth all the time to cover my impulse spending. It was just stupid. So now that it's like, okay, I got myself a little bit more under control here, I think this time I'm going to be able to do it. So maybe 28-year-old Megan couldn't do it, but 35-year-old Megan might be able to do it. But one thing that I will say when it does come to budgeting is separating out expense categories is actually really hard. So I use YNAB to manage my finances and to track everything with our budget. I'm like a diehard. That's the app that my sister introduced me to in 2013. Stands for You Need a Budget. They have four rules and they have a whole philosophy that goes behind it. And one of them is to give every dollar a job. And so all of our monthly expenses are separated out in our budget. But then the things, like I said, about that discretionary spending, it is hard to separate out those categories. Like I can, you know, be like, here's a life insurance payment, here's school lunch payment, all those things. I can go down the list for that. But the stuff that's like groceries, but then it's also like shampoo, which is, I don't know, is that groceries or not? And then, or hardware for the house and anything. It's like whether I'm shopping at Lewis or at Walmart, or obviously there's like the eating out category, but should my coffee be separate from an eating out category? You know, there's so many different ways that you can divide it. And before I transitioned to like our discretionary spending being in a separate account, what I was doing is dividing the month up into weeks in my budget. I had all of our stuff that was predictable, recurring every month, automated. And then above that, I just had week one, week two, week three. So whatever was left over after I filled up my categories for all of the stuff I knew would be coming out, whatever was left over, I divided that by four. And then that was how much money we could spend each week. So see how that's kind of like a little bit more simplified version of the Today's Budget app, where that one is Today's Budget. And I was just going by this week's budget, attempting to. Separating out your expense categories, I think if you are just getting started with budgeting or just starting to pay attention to separating out all the other stuff is kind of tricky. And I feel like it's just, like I said, it's one of those things with like, you have to be okay with readjusting and not like give yourself grace to readjust and not making yourself feel like feelings of shame because you did it wrong. And just like, I remember struggling with like, okay, I bought something at Lewis and I had to remember, okay, but was it a med? Because I had a medical category. So should I, like, that's where we pick up our prescriptions. So should I put my prescription in the medical category or should I just put it in the grocery category because I paid for it at Lewis with other things? You know what I mean? Like, that perfectionism, man, it'll just get you. Anyways, give yourself some grace if you're just getting started nailing down your budget and separating out your different expense categories. Okay, and you know I can't give a tip about anything that has to do with ADHD without saying make it fun or it won't get done. So here are three ways that you can incorporate a little bit of fun or a way to maybe gamify your budget or getting through the month with your finances. You might want to incorporate rewards for yourself to keep your motivation high. So like if you make it to the end of the month and you didn't have to move money over from savings, like that might be a good thing to give yourself a reward. Or if you said you didn't want to spend more than $200 on groceries for the week, maybe what you didn't overspend in groceries could buy you coffee on a Friday morning. You know, just be sure to allow yourself to live a little. Like, we have to. Otherwise, it will never be enjoyable and it will always seem like a chore. There have been some things that I've seen. I actually screenshotted on my phone. You know, those templates on like Instagram stories, and it was a calendar, but then it was to fill in if you had a no spend day or if you're working on a no spend month, and then you like mark what your no spend days are and you share it to hold accountability. Like, I'm not ready to commit to something like that, but I was like, oh my gosh, screw the workout trackers. Like, I want to do a spending tracker. Oh yeah, it was from Mixed Up Money on Instagram. And so it was, you would put an emoji on there for a no spend day and then another emoji on there for spent money on. And then obviously you're trying to only spend money on like your needs and not your wants. And like I said, I'm not ready to do that yet, but hopefully I can make that a goal to try a no spend month in the year 2025. The last thing that I thought was kind of a fun idea or almost like a challenge for yourself that you can do is to, like, we're all about decluttering here, right? And getting rid of things that we don't need. And I think if you're looking for a way to give your budget a little bit of a buffer or to have some guilt-free spending money, try taking some items to a consignment store or reselling some items on Facebook Marketplace. Right now I have the cutest little Tykes grocery store in my playroom, and my kids are done playing with it. And we have a shopping cart and a cute little Lakeshore shopping basket. And I'm having a really hard time letting it go, but it's taking up a lot of room. It's making a mess with a lot of pieces. And I think the motivation for me to sell it is going to be that like free game spending money for me or you and my kids if they wanted to go do something fun. Get creative. See what you could get rid of and make some money back on it. Okay, so we're going to circle back a little bit and talk about what you can do with your impulsive spending. So this is just an idea. If you want to avoid impulse purchases, you could create a wish list for yourself, or at least a wish list rule. Wait 24 hours before making a non-essential purchase. I do this kind of a lot. Because I'm so forgetful, I tell myself if there's something in the store that I want and it's not on my list, it's not what I went to the store for. If it's something that I want, if I leave the store and I'm still thinking about it, then that's something I could probably go back to the store, reconsider, and purchase for myself. It just giving myself to that time to just take a beat and think about it, you know, go home, maybe even look through my closet and be like, oh yeah, I already have a gray cardigan. There's just things you might be able to decide against it. And it might be easy for you to just decide against it. And I would much rather give myself a second than buy something, bring it home and be like, oh, that was dumb. I already have something like this, or this is super similar, or it's extra, or and then you take it back and you only get in-store credit and, you know, all those things. Another thing that I did to set up the guardrails that I was talking about earlier is I unsubscribed from marketing emails left and right. You just need to remove that temptation from your inbox. It is honestly, and to the point, I removed myself from so many marketing emails that I'm not joking. On this Black Friday, I found myself feeling a little offended that people weren't emailing me. I'm like, where are all the sales? And nobody's out here screaming at me, telling me about all these sales in my inbox. And then I was like, oh yeah, I like unsubscribed from everything. Like I pretty much, if I order something and I start getting emails from someone, as soon as that company or as soon as that product that I ordered arrives at my house, I click unsubscribe because I just have no self-control. So you just got to know yourself. Another thing that, like, I know this would work great for me. It might work great for you. It might not be something that you're interested in at all. But I just find it's just like working out, the importance of having an accountability partner. It is just so life-giving when it comes to doing things that are not so fun, like working out and budgeting, talking about money. You do not have to do this alone. And if you can surround yourself with tools and people who keep you motivated and accountable, like that can truly change how you feel about managing your money. And if that's your partner, fantastic. Maybe you have a friend who likes to nerd out about money. There are so many financial coaches out there too. I really love to follow Instagram accounts of people who just have a good Midwest vibe. The Car Mom is one of them. The Debt-Free Mom is another one. Also, the Debt-Free Mom has a podcast and she talks about budgeting by pay period. So if you are going to look into budgeting, I would highly suggest going to check out her stuff because remember, she made me feel so good. She saw me in that budgeting for 30 days at a time is hard. But also another podcast that I've really been enjoying lately that again, kind of holds that value of like basically avoiding overconsumption is the Frugal Friends podcast. Even if the accountability partner is not like someone you know, even if it's just like surrounding yourself with those conversations, like if it's just going to keep you company and keep you in the appropriate like mindset for the spending habits that you want, and it can help you keep those spending habits that you want in the front of your mind, following podcasts and Instagram accounts that speak to that is really going to have an impact on you versus following people who are promoting overconsumption or saying you need this, you need that, like this is a game changer, this that's a game changer, like in every other Amazon product that they find. And it's just, you just got to be conscious of it. Do you really need it? Is this really going to help you? We don't need to keep up with the Joneses. We just need to do what's right for ourselves. Okay, now I'm going to get brutally honest, you guys. The number one thing that helped me learn how to manage my impulsive spending, like I'm not joking when I say the number one motivator for me was decluttering. When I started decluttering my house and when I realized that the less stuff I have is the less stuff that I have to manage, and that means the less overwhelm I feel. Decluttering helped me see what I was getting rid of, which helped me realize what I was spending my money on, which now I spent my money on it. And now I'm turning around and decluttering it from my house, which means that money I spent that's already gone, it was just being wasted. For example, I'm not saying this is how you should be, but this is how I've changed. I do not have a great desire to go to Hobby Lobby anymore, unless there's something on my list that I need there for a DIY project or a craft idea or party decoration. Like I used to just go to Hobby Lobby just to go. I used to buy decor just because it's cute and it's trending and I wanted in my house, but to put something up in my house and I had to take other things down. And then when I was done with them, they just sat around my house and collected. And then I ended up with a ton of decor, which then in turn turned into wasted money because what's the point of having decor just sit around your house not being on display and appreciated? So if you're not quite feeling up to tackling a budget yet or reworking your entire household finance management system, you could always start by decluttering. And it'll honestly show you what you don't need to buy. You'll know what you have and you'll know what you have too much of and you'll know what you're not using anymore so you don't need to buy it. And that's exactly why I created the Decide Guide. It's a room by room resource for you to go through your house and you go to the section in the Decide Guide and you ask yourself those questions about that space. And they're so specific to every different part of your house. And there's like over 23 sections of your house. Did you even know that there's 23 sections in your house? There's over 150 questions in the Decide Guide. And I don't say that to overwhelm you. I'm just sharing that to show like how specific it gets in each part of your home. And it's not something that you need to take on and just get through your entire house. It's just a resource for you to have when you're ready to tackle a space, or when you have a few minutes, or when you've realized that there's a closet that's too full. Grab the Decide Guide. It'll motivate you. It'll light a fire under your butt and you'll just start going. And then you won't be able to stop, because let me tell you, it is addicting. I'll be sure to leave a link for you in the show notes to get access to the Decide Guide. So I hope you enjoyed today's episode with a true behind the scenes look into what my finances look like as a mom with ADHD. But also, I really hope that I was able to pull back the curtain to a little bit of real life and how adjustments happen, life happen, and you just have to roll with the punches and figure out what works for you next. It's really important to me that I hope you know I'm not trying to give you a one-size-fits-all solution, but I want you to know financial success looks different for everyone. And I just am truly encouraging you to recognize your unique challenges and take small steps to manage your money more effectively. It is possible. You just have to be confident in doing what's best for you.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Stress Less Podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, I'd be so grateful if you'd take a screenshot and share it on Instagram, tagging me at Megan Smith Stress Less. Sharing your takeaways from this episode on Instagram will help more moms like you discover helpful episodes and learn how to make motherhood feel more manageable. Don't forget to check out the show notes for tools and resources mentioned in today's episode. I'll talk to you soon on the Stress Less Podcast.